Okay, let's get started with Parshas Nitzavim, Tavshin Pehei, and this will be the last year of the year. Tavshin Pehei next week is Motzoi Rosh Hashanah, and the following week is Yom Kippur, and the following week is Motzoi first day Sukkot, and then we'll see. Maybe we'll try to squeeze in a Shir Bereishis, right? Simchas Torah is Tuesday, so Wednesday night, if we can, that'll be Simchas Torah and Chutz La'aretz, Motzoi, but we'll see what we could do. If not, we'll start with Noach. That'll be Beit Hashem our 18th cycle. But this is the last one for this year, and we start off at Tavshin Nitzavim. It's a small parsha, but there's a lot to talk about. As we know, quantity doesn't play a role in Torah, and that is everything is quality. So we'll start off with Rav Moshe, and the Parsha, there again, as we have said, in Dvarim, there are many chizuk psukim that Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us through Moshe Rabbeinu, you're great, you could do it. And even after, as we know, that Rashi quotes, you're standing here at Tamid Savam Yom Kolchem, even though you heard tons of curses, you could do it, I believe in you, and you've made mistakes before, but Hashem is still here. So one of the psukim, later on, and we'll go back to the beginning, one of the psukim towards the end of the parsha, by Shevi'i, the pasuk says, Re'e nasati lefanecha ayom asachayim vesatov, asama vesasara, I place in front of you today. There are many hayoms in these parshios. Hayom, hayom, hayom. Last week also, Rashi picked up on it, that hayom, hayom, I can today, ki'ilu, ki'ilu nitzava, as if you were commanded today. But Re'e nasati lefanecha, I place before you asachayim vesatov. Says Rav Moshe, this is something that we have to think about every single day of our life. Source number one. Says Rav Moshe, Lashon Hayom Lechora Tamua. Right? What's the Hayom? I place in front of you today? Every day. What's Hayom? V'ulay HaKavana Shebechol Yom Yira Livchor Bishnei HaDrachim Shalafanav. We have to know that every day is a day to make decisions. Bein Shehayalotov Adata. Whether yesterday wasn't a successful day, I got to start again today. Yesterday does not mean that tomorrow I am, that today I'm doomed. And let's say yesterday was good. And even if yesterday was good, if I made the right decision yesterday and I acted properly, that also doesn't guarantee today. Every day is a is possibilities. Every day is an opportunity. So there's never a day that we can rest. There's never a day that we don't have to have focus. They say the Yetzirah never takes a vacation. Right? Every single day. Every single day we have to focus. We have to know that it's another opportunity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first day, somebody has a child. So that's Rav Moshe. Every single day we have the choice, but especially during Elul, we have to know this idea. Okay, so now let's go back towards the beginning of the parsha. It says 2 and 3, but we're going to go in the opposite order. First, we're going to do the Gur Aryeh, and then we're going to do the Arachayim HaKadosh. So towards the beginning of the parsha, the Torah tells us, "Atem nitzavim hayom kolchem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem." You are standing in front of. Right, you are all here today in front of Hashem. Rashechem, Shefteichem, Zeknechem, Shadrechem, Kol Yesh Yisrael. Everybody's here. Everybody's here. Rashi, Atem Nitzavim, Milamed, Shekinsa Moshe, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'yom Moso. This teaches me. This pasuk teaches me. Milamed. It teaches me that Moshe gathered them in front of Hashem on the day that he died. Right, this is all Zayin Adar. These last couple of parshios. Lahachnisam Bivris. To bring them in to renew the covenant, or to have a new stage of the covenant of the bris. So, a close reading of Rashi, which we could do with every single Rashi in the Torah. As we mentioned, there are tens and even maybe hundreds of mefarshim that discuss Rashi. Rashi al Torah. There's no other sefer. There's over Pirish that has more super commentaries. There's no other commentary, unless you say that the Gemara is a commentary on Mishnah, and then the Gemara has many commentaries, but what we would call a commentary. There's no other commentary that has more super commentaries on it than Rashi ala Torah. And the Gur Aryeh, in source number 3, discusses this Rashi. What's behind this Rashi? Rashi says, again, you're all standing here today, the Pasuk says. Rashi says, you learn from this Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu gathered them all together on the last day of his life. So the Gur Aryeh is going to be bothered. How do you know that Moshe Rabbeinu gathered them? Maybe they all just came together for some other reason. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kol, you're all here. Maybe there was an eclipse this week. Maybe they all came together to watch some kind of natural, you know, event. And how do you know it was the day he was going to die? But so Rashi says, Melameh, this pasuk teaches me. He knows it from the pasuk that they're all standing here today. Moshe gathered them together on the day that he was going to die. So says the Gur Aryeh, as he often does. It has to be this way if you think about it. If you think about the pshat of the psukim. De'im lo kein. Because if you don't say this, if you don't say that Moshe gathered them together, heich nimsu kulam yachad, what would they be doing together? Im lo shekinsam bebris. Every single Jew, even if it was, I said before, a natural event, every single Jew is going to be there? Every level, every strata of society, rasheichem, shifteichem, tapchem, nesheichem, babies, men, women, children, mechotiv, etzashu, mimecha, every single Jew, why would that be? It must be that Moshe gathered them. Inami, or you know it from the language of the pasuk. Not just misvara, but says the Gur Aryeh, the Maharal, midachsiv nitzavim lashon nif'al. Nitzavim doesn't just say, if it would have said omdim, they were standing there, that's an active, you know, that just somebody chooses to stand. Nitzavim, says the Maharal, maybe it's from the nif'al. They were made to stand. Nitzavim. Muchach shekinsa Moshe, ki kol nif'al mekabel me'acher ha'pe'ula. Every nif'al, right, if it's formulated like that, nitzavim, so it must be, they were caused to stand. Who caused that to stand? It must be Moshe Rabbeinu. So either it's logic, why else would they be all together, or it's from the word. That's the first part of Rashi. Kinsa Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, biyomoso. How do we know that? Umashapirish yomoso kinsa machnisam bevris. Mishum de'ilav hachi, because were it not on the last day of his life, and it was just, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu decided that today's a good day to renew the covenant, to renew the bris. Why didn't he do that up till now? Why would he choose the last day? Tiksha lamechnisam bevrisata. Why would he do it now? V'lo kol mem shana. For 40 years, Moshe Rabbeinu has been with them. All of a sudden, he would, one day, let's be mechazik our bris with Hashem. No, it has to be some type of reason. It must be because Moshe is about to take leave. That's the reason. The reason. How do we know? Why else would he get them together? It must be because Moshe Rabbeinu was about to turn over the reins to Yoshua ben Nun. That is why he brings them together. He didn't have to renew the covenant, the bris, all those years. Why? Because he was there. He wasn't worried. He was there. He was keeping an eye on them. Shaharei humalamdam umanhigam lios ovdin lakadosh baruch hu. Right? He was there teaching them, making sure they follow. But he knows when he passes on, it's not going to be the same. The generation of Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai is not the same once it's Masor Al Yoshua. And it continues. So before he dies, Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, now I got to do this. Now there's a reason to do it. So Rashi says it has to be, were they all going together? It must be he gathered them. It must be the last day of his life, because why else would he do it? And if it wasn't, why would he choose any day? So Moshe knew. So Im Kain, he says on line 17, it must be the day that he's going to die. Sha'az im lo achshav emasai. If not now, when? And it says in the next week, the beginning of next week's parsha. Ben Esther, Ben Mayav Esther, Shana Anochi Ayom. Ein Safek. Nisam Vayelach go together. There is a issue in the Midrashim talk about how many parshios are in Sefer Dvarim. There's a Vilna Gaon about this also. Two of the parshios in Dvarim have to be put together. Question is, which ones? So we usually put Nisam Vayelach together. Doesn't have to be that way. Could be other parshios together, but at least, he says here, Ein Safek. Not that it's considered one, but it's clearly the same day. And therefore, we could read Nitzavim in light of the beginning of Vayelech. Either way, that's the Gur Aryeh, the Maharal, being medayik in the Lashon of Rashi, how we got it from the Psukim. All right, there's no, well, there is Parshas Vayelech, but not this year, right? Tav Shin Pei in this halachic year. Okay. It's the only parsha that sometimes you can read twice in a year. and sometimes not. Okay, we continue. So the pasuk continues. So they have a new bris, and again a close reading of the pesukim before we get to other larger issues. Second, the third pasuk. Who's standing here? Nafsheich tapchen l'sheichem michodi v'tzachat shoyim imecha. We discussed that in the past. From your wood choppers to your water carriers. Now one would think from A to Z, it should say. So it's like from A to B, right? They're the same level of profession, you would think. You would think from the greatest scientist to the water schleppers. Doesn't say that. Okay, so we discussed that. La'avracha, why you all here? La'avracha bebris Hashem alokecha. To renew the bris, the agreement between you and Hashem, uve alaso, and his curses, which we just enumerated at length. Asher Hashem alokecha koreisim chayom, that Hashem is being koreis with you again today. Hayom's coming up all over these parashiyas. Last week, this week, hayom, hayom, hayom. Should always be today is special, but today should be every day, should feel like every day. You'll be today for an am, again, renewing that relationship. You'll be the Am, he'll be the Elohim, Kasher Diber Lach, as he told Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And not only this, Lo'itim Levadchem, Anochi Yitzchakori Zabris, a covenant, the bris is not only one generational, it's a treaty. Treaties between countries last beyond the times that the people who wrote the treaties are there. Because a treaty is passed down. It's a heritage. And so is the Torah, and so is Eretz Yisrael, and so is being a Kadosh Baruch Hu's nation. So the pasuk says that we are going to agree to the Bris Hashem Elokecha Uve Alaso. And the Arachayim HaKadosh, in where it says source number 2 on the top left, wonders what's this double? La'avracha Bivris Hashem Uve Alaso. Tam Omro Uve Alaso Velo Hispik Bivris. Why can't it just be that we go into the bris? We go into the bris, the agreement with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. What is the Allah add? We're agreeing to the bris and we're agreeing to the Allah, to the curses. What's the double agreement? Yisba'er beheir o. Now let's ask another question, says the Arachayim. Loma meikar hutzrach lebris. Right? Why do we even need to agree to it? V'lo hispik zeres ha-melech b'mora ha'on shemaksuvim b'torah. Hashem says, we already agreed to it by our Sinai. We already got into it with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So where do we have to do it? Right? Why do we even need the bris element? Achein tam hadavar. Says the Arachayim, let me explain. Shetavo hasvara la'adam lomar. It could be that sometime later in history, a person might say to themselves, Sheyavar avera achas. You know what? It's hard to be, again, this is not true, but one might say, it's difficult, so many mitzvahs, so many avir, so many laws. I want to eat what I want. I want to marry who I want to marry. I want to drive when I want to drive. But that's a lot of sins. You know what? Let me do one sin. I'll do one sin, and then that mela will allow me, if I just reject emuna, if I just reject hashgacha, then the mela, that's one sin, and then doesn't that like, okay, everything else flows from that, but that's only one. So I kind of believe and I kind of not believe. So someone might say one day that it's better, right? Sometimes, Rachman al-Islan, throughout history, where Yaakov Kamenetsky talks about this, the big parshas Noach, and, could be that, you know, sometimes in history, there were peoples that felt this way. Sheyavar avera achas, v'u sheyimrod be'ikr, I'll be kofer be'ikr, v'ye onish onish echad al avera achas. One avera, anoch Hashem Elokecha. That's it. That's all. V'yoser nachon hulo, and that's better for me. You know, I believe in schar v'onesh, but, you know, I'd rather only get one onesh than many. So, it's better for me, miyos modiv Hashem, if I'm modin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I believe in schar v'onesh, and then I violate all the averas? That's even worse. V'yishayev alamed v'avkrisos v'kama misos v'onshim. The 36 lavim and krisus asher al kain nis. So wouldn't that be better? Hashem does not leave that as an option. Hashem says there's a bris and there are alos. The alos we went through, kisavo, last week's parsha. The alos are not following the laws. That's part of it. But there's also the bris. The bris is the covenant, the connection between us. Even if you reject one or the other one still exists separately. Nischakem Hashem. Hashem acted wisely. The Haviram Bivris. L'chayim al kol prat uprat. Ubir Hashvua shu alzeh. Nishboyin l'chayim al dover. Vim yavru v'yivalu echameyem tavo alav ha'al v'ksuv. It's all connected. And that's why it's both. Umeyata hagam sheyachshu l'chpor be'ikr. Oyasbek lem onish echad. It's not one onish. Alav unzeh. If you take this in the positive, though, we'll try to have it in the positive is that we have two agreements with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, and they each are significant. We have an agreement for each of the mitzvos. We accept it to do Taryag mitzvos, but we also accept it to be His Am, that status, that relationship. And when we said Naseh v'Nishma, right, it was before we knew anything, as we know Naseh before Nishma, but Uncle is there, and Yisro says that we'll accept. Naseh v'nishma, naseh. Nishma there doesn't mean that not only we'll listen, but mekabel, we'll accept it. Like we've quote noted in the past, sometimes even in English, hear can mean physically hear, hear it, hear something, but hear also can mean to accept. Oh, now I hear it, now I hear it, after somebody explains to you something. So naseh v'nishma was to accept. We accept it to be an am segula, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's am. And then later on, we got into what exactly is the are the details of that? But we accept it to be Avdei Hashem. Also, a connect relates to, we quoted many years ago, the Beis Halevi in Parshas Yisro. The Beis Halevi discusses what the Naseh v'Nishma was. Just to review it quickly, the Beis Halevi asked the question of how did Naseh v'Nishma work? Right? Naseh v'Nishma seems to be against the halacha in the Rambam. The Rambam says it's impossible to obligate yourself to a davar she'eino katzuv, to something that's not definite. If I go over to you and say, I hereby accept to pay you whatever you want, I owe zero. Even if you say a big number, I owe zero. If I say, I hereby obligate myself to pay you 5 million shekel, I have to pay you. That's hodas baldin kemeya edim dami. If it's something definite, but if it's not definite, you can't be mischayev yourself to a davar she'eino katzuv. So ask the Beis Halevi, how did Naseh v'Nishma work? We'll do it, Hashem, whatever you say. What do you mean, whatever you say? That doesn't work. That type of obligation doesn't work. So explains the Beis Halevi, you're right, you can't obligate yourself to a davar she'eino katzuv. But you know what you can do? I can accept to be your Eved. You are my Adon, you're the master, and I'm your Eved. I could create a relationship. I could create a context. Once I do that, step one, then step two, Memela, if you're the Adon and I'm the Eved, then I have to listen to whatever the Adon says. But that's step two. That's what Naseh v'Nishma was. Naseh v'Nishma wasn't, I'll do whatever you say. It was, we are Avdei Hashem. We accept that we are Kanui Lecha. Right? We are, right? The mitzvahs define who we are, but we do the mitzvahs based on being Avdei Hashem. Right? That's the bris. It's the relationship even before separate from the second stage, which is all the mitzvahs. That's the positive. Positive in the bris and the Allah. Here again, it's the making sure that we don't violate, but we look at it as a chus that we have these two relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. The next two thoughts are connected. They don't quote each other, but first Rabbeinu Bachai, which we did a number of years ago, source number 4, same page, and then we'll get to a thought from Rabbi Sachs, not connected to Rabbeinu Bachai, but I think it continues his thought. Rabbeinu Bachai here in our parsha, when Moshe Rabbeinu was giving his last pump-up speech, notes that Moshe Rabbeinu does not talk about the afterlife. Doesn't talk about what's going to be. He talks about what's going to be after he dies. After I die, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're going to sin, but you're going to do tshuva. There's going to be ups and downs. So Rabbeinu Bachai uses this opportunity to talk about a little bit of Olam Haba. And we're just going to note the two opinions. And we're also going to note that the Rambam says we shouldn't spend too much time on this. Because the Rambam writes, even though the Rambam describes what he thinks is going to be the course of events, the Rambam himself says, but don't spend so much time on this because it doesn't lead to Avas Hashem or to Yiras Hashem. Our job in this world is just to do Torah and Mitzvahs, not to figure out what's going to be in the afterlife. Because nobody's really going to know until it happens. But the Rambam and the Ramban and others do have opinions, and we'll just mention it here because Rabbeinu Bachai mentions it here in the parsha. Rabbeinu Bachai says, "V'das Rambam zal be'inyan tchias ha-mesim." The Rambam sheet about Tchias HaMesim, which, by the way, some people, some of the Rishonim in the days of the Rambam were very upset that the Rambam didn't talk about Tchias HaMesim too much in Mishneh Torah. And they even started spreading rumors that the Rambam doesn't believe in Tchias HaMesim. That's why the Rambam wrote Ma'amar Tchias HaMesim in one of the letters. I was just, what are you talking about? Man, he is trying to things. If I didn't write about things, it doesn't mean I don't believe in it. If I didn't write it in certain places, so the Rambam sheet about Tchias HaMesim is Ki b'nei Tchias HaMesim yochlu v'yishtu v'yolidu. The Rambam holds that there are going to be two stages. There's going to be Tchias HaMesim, says the Rambam, and then that will be a physical existence. The dead will arise and become alive again, and we will live as we live today. Like Shmuel says in the Gemara, Ein bein olam hazeh olam haba, el hashibud malchus bilvad. There's not going to be anti-Semitism, and there's not going to be war. There's going to be a physical existence. Ki akelim shebahem lo yu levatala. Because why would you come back alive in your body if you wouldn't be able to use your body or function physically? What do you need the body for? So the Rambam says it's going to be tchias hamesim with a physical existence. V'yichyom arukim, and people will live a long time. V'yachare atchia, and then at the end of that time, people will die again. Says the Rambam. Yamusu v'yavol chayolam haba, then they'll come to olam haba, which is a spiritual existence without bodies. V'hushem askiran tamid mizuman l'chayolam haba. Olam haba sha'achar atchia. Shalav amar Chazal, and that's what Chazal say. Olam haba ein bo lo achila v'lo shtia. There's no eating, there's no drinking. El nefashos below gufos. It's just souls, says the Rambam, in that second stage. Shim hayu agufos, hila kelim v'atala. If it would be, why would there be a physical existence? Why would I have a mouth if I don't eat? Or a stomach, or eyes? Why would I need a body if I'm not using them in the physical waste? The Rambam says, it has to be that the first stage is going to be a physical existence, and that will be tchias hamesim, and then I'll die again. It'll be another physical, spiritual existence. V'yim tomar, and says the Rambam, asking on himself, sometimes there were physical people without physical needs. Ein tama baze matzinu plia b'moshe ve'eliyahu. Sha'am duzman begufas b'lachil eshtia. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights, three times, 120 days. Says the Rambam, that's what we would call a harasha. That was a one-time, momentary, undoing of the natural law. Kach tia ha-plia b'vnei olam haba. So maybe it should be that way. No, yef shalom arkeim. Fishim nizbalu ha-kochos ha-gufanios ha-yazel ha-fishah. It was temporary. Aval bazeh kelim levatala. But the rest of the physical body wouldn't be used. That's the Rambam. That's the Rambam shita. V'chulu. Skip down to line 13. Zeklal das harav va'olim mitov tzvarav. Amnam, says Rabbeinu Bachai, and other Rishonim, two tchias hamesims. Where does it say that in Chazal? Says Rabbeinu Bachai, Amnam lo kein das chachmi atalmud, and I don't think that's the pashup shot of Chazal. V'yodea ha-kabbalah, ki hom sovrim she'en misa achar atchia. Once it's tchias hamesim, that's it. There's not going to be another death. One time, Shmiyat Shekasef, Bila Hamaves Lanetzach. Death will be removed forever. So once it's done, Tchias HaMesim, it's done. Umeshah Darshu Chazal, Meshim Sadak HaShbaruch HaLach Yoshub Ein Chozum LaAfron, V'chulu. And then he quotes on line 17, Margalah B'pumi Derav, the Gemara says in Brachas, Rav used to say, Olam Abba, Ein Bo Lo Achilav, Lo Shtiav, Lo Kinav, Lo Tachris. There's not going to be eating, drinking, competitions. Tzadikim Yoshvim, Tzadikim will be sitting there, V'yoshva, Atroseim, Barosheim, their crowns on their heads, V'nenim Yiziv Ashchina. So, how do you understand? Oh, there's not going to be eating. See what the Rambam says? There's not going to be eating. That's stage two, because there's not going to be any bodies. But, says the Rabbeinu Bachai, no, the Pashup Shad is that there's going to be bodies, but there's not going to be eating. You have to tell me there's not going to be eating if there's no body. Obviously, there's not going to be eating. There's not going to be eating is going to tell me that there might be physical bodies, but there won't be physical needs. It's not going to be the same type of life. Hamamar azeh yoreh. Shebevadai. Sheisham gufos. There will be physical bodies, says Rabbeinu Bachai. Vizeu sha'amru ein balo achil voshtia, no eating and drinking. Shimlo hayusham gufos. If there wouldn't be bodies, ein sarach lomar she'ein balo achil voshtia l'nefashos. Nothing to talk about. Oh, there's not going to be eating? The Rambam is telling you, yeah, that's telling me there's not going to be bodies. The Rabbeinu Chai says, no, that's telling me there will be bodies, but no eating. V'yalkei namin shiyu b'nei ha'olam haba b'gufos. Be a physical existence. Yizbatlu me'am ha'kochos ha'gufanios. They will be the the bodily needs will be nullified, like Moshe Rabbeinu, and Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi never died. He's not eating anything these days. Why would we have physical bodies if we're not acting physically? They're not levatala, says Rabbeinu Bachai. In all the years, we earned our reward with the synthesis of our body and soul. It's only right that our body and soul enjoy the fruits of the labor, of our labor. And therefore the body will be there too. Body won't be lacking anything, won't have any desire, but it'll be there. V'tarchu ben ke'echod begufu benefesh. Hashem wants to reward even the bodies, the chulu, and therefore we'll be back. Okay, different stages, Machlokes, Rambam, and others, but we won't focus on it so much because the Rambam himself says not to focus on it so much. But there is, reminds me of the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, in Parak Chelek, where the Gemara says that when we are judged in the future, you know, the guf and the neshama are going to come together. And the Gemara gives a mashal. There was a rich man that had an orchard, and he wanted to guard his orchard for nobody taking it. So what did he do? He could find two shomrim. He had a shomer that was lame in a wheelchair that could see. And then he had a blind man who could walk. So he figured those two together would be okay, because if the person in the wheelchair sees, he'll say, run to the left, run to the right, then they'll be enough together. Okay, good. So the Balabais leaves, and the Gemara says that, they said, hey, there are some great apples here. So the blind man says, but I can't see them. So he says, okay, put me on your shoulders, and then we'll go get the apples. And that's what they did. And then the Balabais comes back and says, what's going on? Where are my apples? And the blind man says, I have no idea. I couldn't see. What do you expect that I took them? And the one in the wheelchair says, I can't walk. What do you mean? Do you think I took them? The Gemara gives that as a mashal, that in the future, our guf is going to say to Hashem, you can't hold me responsible. Look at me. Since the neshama left me, I haven't done a sin. I've been sitting here in the ground the whole time. Right? So you can't blame me. And the neshama is going to say, I'm just flying around here. Did I do anything wrong? So what Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do, he's going to put the neshama back into the guf and said, okay, now it's time to stand in front of me. So like the man said, okay, you know what? You're right. You couldn't either do it. So he takes the man in the wheelchair, he puts him on the shoulders of the blind man and says, okay, now I'm going to judge you and hold you responsible. So the guf and the neshama have this team, the Gemara says, but the Rabbeinu Bachayir says in the future also, they're going to be a team. But what's interesting, and now we move over to Rabbi Sachs on the next page, is that the Torah never discusses this. But the Rishonim already point out, the Torah does not talk about Olam Haba. Why not? Why doesn't the Torah talk about Olam Haba? What does the Torah talk about? If you do all the mitzvahs, you're going to get rain. Wow. And all your crops are going to grow. That's the reward. Why doesn't the Torah talk about Olam Haba? And the afterlife. And, okay, you might say that there's nothing to describe because it can't be described in words. Right, it's not a physical existence or reality, so what's the Torah going to say? There are no physical words to describe the Olam Haba. But maybe there's another idea. Rabbi Sachs here quotes the famous remark of Sherlock Holmes. He starts, I draw your attention, he said to Dr. Watson, to the curious incident of the dog that night. But the dog did nothing that night, said Watson. That, says Holmes, is the curious incident. Right? Sometimes to know what a book is about, you need to focus on what it does not say, not just on what it does. So Rabbi Sachs here discusses that whole discussion that we just had in Rabbeinu Bachai, that Olam Haba and the stages and Tchias HaMesim, there are remazim. Az Yashir Moshe, what does the Rashi say? Mikan l'Tchias HaMesim and HaTorah. Yashir is in the future. In the future we'll sing. And there are other remazim. But there's nothing. And he quotes, the ancient Egyptians were obsessed with death. Their monumental buildings were an attempt to defy death. The pyramids were giant mausoleums. They were portals through which the soul of the deceased pharaoh could ascend to heaven, join the immortals. They did everything they could to focus on, you know, the afterlife, turning the page,
to page 3.
There's nothing about this in the Torah. Olam haba, life after death, tchias hamesim. Why not? Why not? So says Rabbi Sacks that we celebrate life. And he says on the right side, how then do you defeat death? Yes, there is an afterlife. Yes, there is Chias HaMesim resurrection. But Moshe does not focus on these obvious ideas. Right? He didn't tell them, I'm going to the next world, I'm going to be okay, I'm going to be an Ohab. He doesn't say, why does he say that? He tells us something different altogether. You achieve more mortality by being part of a covenant. A covenant with eternity itself, a covenant with Hashem. Says Rabbi Sacks, beautiful, if anybody has to speak at a simcha over the next couple of weeks, I said this, I prepared this year earlier in the week, and I went to be a shiva call yesterday, and this was the obvious thought to mention. When you live your life within a covenant, something extraordinary happens. A covenant, as we said before, is passed down from generations. Your parents and grandparents live on in you. You live on in your children and your grandchildren. They are part of your life. You are part of theirs. Right, what does Moshe say? V'lo itchem levatchem anochi akoreis zabris esos. In the future, Moshe is expressing to them that he is not going to die. He will stay living. The focus is not about the next world. That's not what we should be thinking about. That's not what we should be focusing on. That's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's realm. But what Moshe means, in a larger sense, turning the page now again, we renew the covenant when we rededicate our lives to the faith and way of the life of our ancestors. They become immortal in us as we become immortal in our children. It is precisely because Judaism focuses on this world that is the most child-centered of all the great religions. So much of what we do is for chinuch, for our children, right, to pass on, as Rabbi Sacks writes in other places. Other religions build pyramids. We build schools, right? The first thing we need in a community is a shul, a school, and a mikvah, right? That's what's built. But, you can't live without that. We need the schools, right? We live on. That's what Moshe, and then he says beautifully, what are the last two mitzvahs in the Torah? Last two mitzvahs in the Torah, according to most Rishonim. Okay, there's maybe Yai Nesach in Hazinu. Last two mitzvahs, Hakel and Ksiva Sefer Torah. What's Hakel? Every 7 years, the entire Jewish people, men, women, children, babies, the Ramban says. I don't know why I threw the babies. He says, that's what Chazal say, but it's like hard to believe that you're going to have a lot of concentration listening to the Torah from the king in the Beis HaMikdash when you're holding the diaper bags and the strollers and how do you? Yeah, but that's the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is to pass it on to the next generation. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's what I'm doing to you. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu lives on in each and every Jew. Hakel. And Ksiva Sefer Torah. Writing a Sefer Torah. What does the Gemara say? Even if my parents gave me a Sefer Torah, I got to write another one. I got to write my own. It's not just what I got, but I have to pass it on to the next. And every generation, it has to be passed on. Right, top right. You have to take it and make it new in every generation. You must make the Torah not just your parents' or grandparents' faith, but your own. If you write it, it will write you. The eternal word of the eternal God is your share in eternity. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't talk about and what he does talk about. Right, and that's what we say. That's what he says in the continuation. If you keep the covenant, then your ancestors will live in you and you will live on in your children. Moshe Rabbeinu becomes immortal by not talking about death or what happens afterwards. He teaches Torah. He gives out a Sefer Torah to every Shevet on the end of his life. I'm passing on to you. He's influencing them. And therefore, yeah, physically Moshe Rabbeinu died. Physically. But we know that's not what life's about. We're passing through. Chavetz Chaim, right? I'm just passing through. I'm just passing through. Right? We had one transition from utero to this earth, and we'll have another transition after 120, from this earth to the next stage. But the point is to make ourselves immortal in this stage, and that is by becoming immortal through Talmidim, through friends, through our midos and values that we pass on to the next generation. And that's what he says on the top of the next page. To be a leader, You do not need a crown or robes of office. All you need to do is write your chapter in the story. Do deeds that heal some of the pain in this world and act so that others become a little better for having known you. We mentioned a number of years ago, Rabbi Sachs's thought, I think it was Parshas Pinchas, a number of years ago, where we mentioned where Rabbi Sachs talks about the difference between power and influence. He says, no, you might think it's the same thing. Those who have a lot of power have a lot of influence. He says, but they're two very different things. Because power, the more you share, the less you have. Right? If I'm a monarch and I give away some power, I have less power. Influence, the more you share, the more you have. Because you were mashpia on one person and he's mashpia on five other people and it spreads. Power, we're not interested in power. That's not what our leaders are about. We're interested in influence. Being mashpia, and shipua is a slope. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, the most influence that we can have is if we act in a certain way and it'll just drip down, right? Drip down into the people that are listening. But that's what Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had the greatest influence. That's what we have now. We had the Rambam. The Rambam died 800 years ago. The Rambam is alive and well in every Beis Medrash in the world. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Akiva, are greats. We quote their words every day. The Minchas Chinuch, yesterday was his yard site. The Minchas Chinuch, he lives on. All of the greats live on throughout the generations because they created immortality by connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and then connecting with us. Okay, two thoughts b'inyani Rosh Hashanah for the last part of this year. And again, I apologize, everybody should have a wonderful Shana. Beshem coming up. This is again the last year for Tufshin Pehe. There is a Gemara. Right? One of the ways to be Zocha B'din, we're all looking for skulos. There are no shortcuts. Right? There are no the greatest skulos are what Chazal say. Like Rav Shlomo Zalman said, right? Rebbe, I need a Yeshua. What do I do? He says, I don't know. He says, what I try to do is to make brachas with kavana. But that was his skula. But one of the skulas that's mentioned in the Gemara is if somebody could be ma'avir al midosav, to let things slide. And that's based on a Gemara in Tainus. The Hagioni Halacha here of Mirsky in the second volume, he summarizes the Gemara, and he quotes a shot of Rabbi Saul Salanter on the Gemara. That's why I just gave this piece. The Gemara in Tainus Daf Chafei. There it tells the story. He summarizes on a line 2 in source number 6. Pamachas Netzer Hashamayim, there was a drought, Velohaya Matar, there was no rain. Yard Rebel Yezer went to be the chazan, and he davened, and he said the special tefillah of a fast day with 6 extra brachas, 24 brachas. Nothing. Sunny, hot, nothing. Rabbi Kiva says, can I try? Rabbi Kiva goes down, be the chazan. Rabbi Kiva says, 7 words. Avinu Malkeinu Ein Lanu Melech Ela Ata. Sorry, 12 words. Avinu Malkeinu Lamancha Rachem Aleinu. Hashem, you are our king. Hashem, have rachmanis. And it starts pouring. And everybody's celebrating, but there's one person in the room that's a little embarrassed, a little feeling Rabbi Eliezer. So all of a sudden, a baskel goes out from Shemayim. And the Baskel says, don't think Rabbi Akiva is any greater than Rabbi Eliezer. He's not greater. It's just that Rabbi Akiva is a Mavir Amidosav man. That's why. He lets things slide. He's Mavir Amidosav. So all the Mefarshim ask, so he was greater. What do you mean? He's not greater than him. It's just that he's Mavir Amidosav. Okay, and therefore he's not. So he is greater. Rabbi Akiva is greater than Rabbi Eliezer. What do you mean he wasn't Mavir Amidosav? He is greater. So there are different answers given. If you look at he quotes from the Mabit and the Beis Elokim. He goes, really, they're equal in Torah and each equal. Kala mitzvah shasar abelezer asar b'kiva kamosa, line 16. They did equal mitzvahs. But it's just that their teva was different. Rabbi Eliezer naturally did the right thing and did mitzvos and the good. Rabbi Akiva, remember, came from non-Jewish stock. So Machlokas, was he a ger? Or his parents gerim? I think the Rambam says in the Hakdama that he was a ger. I don't remember if it was Ben Gerim or Rabbi Kiva didn't have it naturally. But he worked and worked and worked at it. Lefum tsara agra. Before he came to it. And it was harder for him to get to that. Same, he wasn't greater. But he worked hard to get. He was mavir on his midos, his natural inclinations. He was able to overcome and pass over that. That's the mabit. And that's why he was the answer. Because he had to work harder. One idea. Then you just take it. That's not mavir midosa like we usually understand it. But he quotes from Yisrael Salanter. Yisrael Salanter says that really, if you know, if you remember, Rabbi Eliezer was a Talmud of Shammai. Beis Shammai. And Rabbi Kiva followed the Ruba de Chachamim, Beis Hillel. What does it mean one wasn't greater than the other? Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were both Gedolei HaTanoim. And they each had their different Derech HaChaims. And there's different Jews and different paths. We know from Shammai and Beis Shammai that was more Chamor, din, stringent, generally. And Beis Hillel is less kapdan. The four stories in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, with Hillel and Shammai and potential converts. Same daf, Hillel not getting angry when the guy's trying to get him out of the shower four times. He made the bet, and he lost the bet. One of my favorite amudim in Shas, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph in Shabbos. Like, every one story is better than the next. And you also have on the bottom of that amud, you have the Ashish Sidrei Mishnah and the six questions. Yisrael Salanter says, Rabbi Lezer wasn't any less than Rabbi Akiva. It was just that he was following his Rebbe's Derech. Talmud of Shammai. Kapdan. See, he wasn't such a Mavra Midosa. He believed in Din. He believed in, this is Magil Azeh. Zelu Umazeh. Rabbi Akiva, right, was more of a flexible. Shenech Laku, line 31. Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Gam B'Darkei Amidos, Lavodat Hashem. Which Avodat Hashem is appropriate? More of Kabdanus? Or man, they each follow their Rebbe. They each follow their Rebbe. That's true. So that explains what wasn't Gadol Mizeh, but what do you see from the Gemara? That when we need Rachmanus, Rabbi Akiva is the derech that we need. So yes, Rabbi Lezer wasn't any worse. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not answer Rabbi Eliezer. Because when we're davening for Rachmanus, the derech that we need to take is Ma'avraham Midoseinu. And that's what we need at this time of year. We all get slighted in different ways, and we all cause sliding. Let's just focus on the receiving end right now. Right? There's different times we get slighted. Somebody cuts us off on the road. Somebody is sitting in my seat in shul. Somebody says something on a WhatsApp group that, pokes a little fun at me. We just have to say, it's fine. It's no big deal. Because we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, it's fine. No big deal. It's fine. You messed up, it's okay. If other people can mess up and we can say it's fine, so we have to spread that energy. Spread the, it's fine, it's okay energy. And that way we will be zocha to it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. And finally, just one more thought from Rabbi Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer. From his drushas, we usually quote from his parsha sefer, but this is from his drushas on Chodesh Elul, and he gives a drush. Again, he was the last great darshan in Krakow. Again, the father-in-law of Shabsi Frankel, right, of Rambam fame. So Rabbi Yosef Nechemya, in source number 8, he quotes on the pasuk in Tehillim, Tfila la'ani ki ya'atof, v'lefnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. The tfila of a poor man. Kiyatov, when he garbs himself, when he clothes himself, and in front of Hashem he pours out his heart. So how do we understand that pasuk? So says Rabbi Yosef Nechemya, a drush on the pasuk. Ani ve'evyon ki yesh lo davar al ha-melech. A poor man, a needy person wants to speak to the king. Az milvad shi yesh lo ledog eich l'sader tainosa ve'eich l'shpoch sicho. So, of course, if an ani is speaking to a king, he has to figure out beforehand what to say and how to say it and formulate his needs very carefully. But even before that, there's a bigger issue with the ani. Od rabba alav ha'avoda, v'tzorcha chana rabba, v'syata v'harbi ishtavus, sheyuchal ikanes. How am I going to get in? What am I going to say at the meeting? Okay, that's one issue. I have to prepare myself. But who's going to give, who's my connection to get, to open the door? That's the first step. So much of life is connections, connections, to get the meeting. And I'm going to get the meeting. Do I look appropriate for the meeting? I'm wearing like Mordechai, remember? Ein lavo right? You can't come to the king, but lavush sak. Esther says, what are you doing? Lo toar v'lo hadrlo. So we, of course, want to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, but we're trying to get the meeting, and we'll look at ourselves. We have what to work on. We have a lot that we have worked on. But k'enanachnu b'vo yimei harachamim v'haratzon. V'kash yikr v'ayam ha'kadoshim shebahem yipakid kol ish. Every day, every person is going to be counted. And v'almadinos bo ye amer. Eine libenu mali agadosa v'rikshosenu yisaru. Our hearts and our feelings are overflowing. There's so much we want to ask the king. We want to ask for peace and redemption and health and all good things. Ach, line 15. Ach anu machashvim, man omar, man adaber, man avakesh. Before we even think about what we're going to say, yesh lono lidog lespal tchila lzoshe nizke leskanis lefanav. I hope I get in. I hope I merit the meeting. V'shenuch ha'lishpoch sichenu v'shomei asira. Ki alo gavri arti lo yanachno, we're lacking. V'lo rechatsnu b'dikayon, we have to do a lot of spiritual cleansing. Our davening, our learning, our avas Yisrael. Right? With so much Klal Yisrael has to work on. We've worked. But there's always more that we could do. That's why we have slichas before him, to get us in the mood. Shabayim, through the slichas, we cleanse and we put on our finest before we get to Rosh Hashanah. Over and over again. Hashem, Hashem, Kol Racham Lachanan. Over and over again, right? At least four days before Rosh Hashanah, Ashkenazi custom, Levaker Mimum. To check ourselves from any type of blemish. And that's what he says, Alder Drush, the top of the left column now. Right, Dirsho Hashem Behi Matzo. Seek out Hashem when he is found. That's Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Aseres Yimei Tshuva. But he says, Ach lo techaku ados, but don't wait till then. Dirsho Hashem Behi Matzo. Kiru b'yoso karov, already call to him when he's close, meaning in Elul. Dirsho Hashem Behi Matzo, he's going to be very close. In Aseres Yimei Tshuva. But don't wait till then. Kiru b'yoso karov, when he's already out, as the Kabbalistic sources say, Melach Basada, he's already making himself available. Umatigru matavakshu lo al sarcheichem, and don't focus on your own needs. Al azos karu v'chalu panav. We should think about Klal Yisro. We should think about everybody being righteous and coming back to him. And then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have rachmanis. But again, the first step is to be zochet to come to him. To be zochet to have that meaning. Tfila la'ani, the first tfila for an ani, for someone who is poor. Not physically, only spiritually, kiyato, we have to clothe ourselves with proper clothing to enter into the meeting. We have to dress in our finest white. We have to do what we can to purify ourselves. And then, v'levnei ashpen, then we'll be zocha to yishboch sicho to have that meeting. So Klal Yisrael, again, has been through a tumultuous year, a year of unbelievable miracles. Unbelievable miracles. And if those who don't realize it and think about it, then that's like Chizkiyahu and Abchis's covet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To know what every single country surrounding us was a major threat, and the nisim and the flows that took place over the past 2 years, 13 months. But obviously it's also been, along with that, a very challenging, painful in some ways, and difficult year. We feel that we're almost there. We feel that Jewish history is going on hyperspeed. So much is happening so fast. Sometimes you could have 500 years in Jewish history and how much happens. We've had 75 years, and for sure the last 2 years, there's so much going on. We know, we feel we're almost at the finish line. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we just daven as we go from Tafshin Pehe to Tafshin Pehe Vav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should look down upon us and just give us the final push over the finish line, be able to be in the stage of ultimate Geula, Beit Hashem. But as we saw before, according to many Rishonim, it's still going to be a physical existence, so we're still Beit Hashem going to be able to have the Parsha Shir. Right after Mashiach comes, we'll still keep meeting Wednesday nights, and Beit Hashem, everybody should be zochet to a Shana Tova Masuka. Beit Hashem, the next year will be either Bracious, or Noach. Unclear, but everybody should have a wonderful, amazing, sweet year.